If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate show. I'm Clayton Morris. This is the show where we help you become a better real estate investor. Welcome in, everyone. Today, we're going to be answering your questions directly from you, the questions that you've been wondering about in the world of real estate investing. And you're able to do that very simply by leaving us a voicemail message. You're able to call into our phone number and leave us a message, and we will go through those messages and answer your questions. Very easy to do. Just go to morrisinvest.com/Clayton. That's how you're able to leave us a voicemail. So here we go. Here is our first call. This is from Bill, and he wants to know about single families versus duplexes and what should he buy to get started. Let's listen to Bill.
Hey, Clayton. You've said many times that your buy and hold strategy is single family homes. What are your thoughts on duplexes and quadplexes? Because I'm considering those as well as the single family units, and just wanted to know what you thought about it. Thanks.
Thanks, Bill. Great question. So yes, I am a single family home investor. That's my primary source of income from the properties that I own. I love single families because I grew up in a single family home. I understood it. I understood that when you have a single family home, you make it yours, right? You have a yard, sometimes you have a fence, and the dog can play in the yard, and you don't hear people banging on the doors or walls because someone's living next door. And now I have extra backup in the form of the economy. We are in an affordable housing crisis in the United States right now. More demand for single family homes than ever before. Now, when I say single family homes, what I mean by that is anything that's under 4 units. 4, 3, 2, 1, because anything more than 4 units is considered commercial property. So I'm a fan of really anything under 5 units, 4, 3, 2, 1. I own some of each of those. Now, my favorites really fall in the duplex and single family home variety. Duplexes that are large. So for instance, the homes that we're building in our Texas market for our clients at Morris Invest, they're all new construction. They have vaulted ceilings. I mean, you can take a look at these in our videos on our website. They look fantastic. There's a lot of space to them. But the key when you're investing in real estate, I believe, is you better have space. So the duplexes that we build and that I like are the ones where tenants are going to stay a long time. When they stay in, and I know this from experience, they stay in properties that have more space. And so if you have properties that are smaller, those 100-unit apartment complexes where everyone's crammed in like sardines, typically those apartments have a lot of tenant turnover. You're typically dealing with anywhere from 5, 10, even 20% tenant turnover on a regular basis. This is very, very common. So that's why I look for properties where there's single families, duplexes that have a lot of space, 3 bedrooms, vaulted ceilings, multiple bedrooms for the children, a yard. You don't necessarily feel like when you're in one of those duplexes, like you're in a small apartment. And you also don't feel like you're in a duplex. You feel like it's a single standalone family home. Anything under 4 units is really fantastic. I am a fan, though, of duplexes, and single families are my favorite. You're going to have the least amount of tenant turnover headaches, and you're just going to have a great return on that investment. And I think that that's the ultimate name in this game is cash flow and having consistent cash flow with tenants. Remember, your biggest expense as a real estate investor is going to be tenant turnover. So you're going to want to make sure that tenants stay as long as possible. And that's why space counts. Okay, let's take our next caller here. This one is from James with a question. Let's listen to James.
Hey, Clayton. How do you guys handle the money for repairs when you have a real estate property that needs some repairs? I'm in the process of buying my first investment property, and I don't have a plan for this. I have a property manager. Should I have a shared account with him where I put the funds in there and he takes as he needs? I'm not sure what the standard procedure is, so I'm wondering what you guys do. Okay. I don't want to, you know, pay up front and feel like I'm being taken advantage of. Yeah, let me know. Let me know what your process is. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Thanks, James. I appreciate the question. So our process is simple. We work with property managers in our different markets, and very often you'll have a little bit of reserves set up with the property manager to start out with. Typically, this can be anywhere from $500 to $1,000 that you keep in a reserve account just to handle minor repairs. Like, I don't want to deal with, if they have a hand railing that needs fixing or a towel rack that needs fixing, go and do it. Don't bother me with that question. Put it, you know, make sure that it comes out of the maintenance reserves that we have on file with that property management company. For instance, we just had a tenant turnover on one of our properties, and we had to top up our reserve fund with the property management company. Now, this is kept in an escrow account, typically with the property management company in an escrow account. So they cannot hold this money, and you don't want to be holding this money. This sits in an escrow account. And it's very, very simple. Don't overthink this. James, I want to kind of cut to something a little deeper here, because I can hear James's wheels turning a lot. Like, he's really just overthinking things too much. And I say that with a lot of love, but when you're starting something like this, you're always overthinking all the little details. You'll get these answers, James, as you dive into real estate investing. Like, this is not even a question that ever comes up. You're honestly the first person I've ever had ask me that question. So it just goes to show you that there people can think about all little manner of details when it comes to real estate investing. This is just a simple one. You know, now, if you're managing properties yourself, which I do not advise you to do, I never manage, I really don't want you managing properties yourself. Property management teams in the different markets where you own your properties are always going to be able to handle things more efficiently, handling phone calls at odd hours of the night, dispatching a maintenance person, et cetera. They usually have contractors on staff that can handle repairs at scale and normally more affordably. So that's something you want to pay attention to, is having those properties managed by somebody else. But if you're going to manage them yourself, yes, you want to make sure you're setting aside some money in a reserve account, some sort of an escrow or savings account that you can keep track of. That's your reserves for handling putting in a new water heater, your reserves for putting in a new furnace eventually. Making sure that you have a backup amount for expenses and repairs is always going to be smart. I really want you to watch some other videos here on our channel where we talk about return on investment. And making sure that you're setting aside, you know, anywhere from 30 to 40% of your income to take care of those expenses or just taxes or rainy day information that might pop up that you have to deal with. So setting aside those reserves is very, very important. So thank you, James, for that question. All right, our next one comes from Josh, who asks this question.
Hey, Clayton. I'm just getting started in real estate investing. And one of the big challenges I'm having is determining my unique buying criteria. You know, there's opportunities that come around all the time. And I find myself just kind of going back and forth between, hey, that could be a good one, that could be a good one. But I'd love your input on how to determine what the right buying criteria would be. I'd love to kind of hear yours and then any pointers you have on helping me put mine together. Thanks.
Thank you, Josh, for that question. Again, I think maybe Josh might be overthinking things also. And he might be suffering from a failure to pull the trigger, which is a common malady that we see. Now, I think, Josh, if what I want to get to here is the point that there is just the numbers don't lie. You know, what I'm always trying to find in a property is I want to know what the return on investment will be. What will the ROI be? And again, I point you to our other content here on the channel that specifically talks about return on investment. In fact, in this video, in this podcast, I'm going to have below in the description a link to ROI so you can learn more about what I look for. But it's simple. I want anywhere between a 7 to 10, 11, 12% return on investment, net cash return on investment. That means potentially the gross return is upwards of 20%. But net, I want to be able to put in my pocket every month or every year a 7% to 8% net return. That's kind of the lowest point, right? And if you think of that as you think of where the stock market is typically, people are not making anywhere near that amount. okay? Unless you're some sort of a day trader and you're doing millisecond trades and you're in front of 30, you know, computer screens and you're that kind of a guy. But most people in the stock market aren't going to get anywhere near that kind of return that you can get from a smart real estate investing. So I'll tell you the figure that we use at Morris Invest. So for our clients, like I gave you that example, the duplexes that we're building for our clients or the single family homes that we build for our clients, that's our goal, is to hit that 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12% net cash on cash return on our properties. Now, it's going to vary depending on the size of the property or the amount of units we're talking about here, if it's a duplex, et cetera. But that's our goal, right around an 8% net cash on cash return. And the gross is higher than that. And because we're also building in a cost segregation analysis when someone closes on the property, like we're paying a CPA to do that ahead of time, your actual return might be even way higher, because then you're able to deduct on your taxes in that very same calendar year almost the entire down payment on the property. And if you're using other people's money in the form of financing, like we work with over 60 different lenders at our company. So if you work with financing and you get a cost segregation analysis completed on for your taxes, you're almost getting an infinite return. You're getting upwards of almost a 40% return in that calendar year. So you have to think through some of these other things that most people don't talk about. Taxes. This is one of the most important parts of figuring out your formula, Josh, is understanding the tax benefits that you're able to accelerate by depreciating that asset this calendar year using a cost segregation analysis. Again, we'll link up below some additional resources on cost segregation. We've got a mammoth blog post on our website at morrisinvest.com that walks you through cost segregation and how it works and why it's so powerful. But Josh, bottom line is, don't overthink this. The numbers don't lie. If you're going to be able to get an 8% return, that's a good place to start. A good net cash on cash return. Look at how much you're paying for the property, how much repairs go into the property, what will it cash flow for with a tenant in place. Make sure you know these numbers. Make sure that you have good appreciation in your market. Make sure that the crime is low. Make sure that the property management teams you're working with have had over 5 years experience. They're not newbies. There's a lot of things that we look at before we even go into any market. So we make sure that that number does not lie. And there's a lot of numbers that can lie to you sometimes when you're falling in love with a property and you're just starting out. You know, you're driving around on the weekend and you find this adorable little bungalow and you're like, oh, and you try to massage the numbers a little bit to make them work. Don't massage the numbers to try to make them work. They will or they won't based on the data. Are there jobs? Is the crime low? What will the cash flow be on this property? Can you rent it between $900, $1,100, $1,200 a month? You need to know those numbers by really doing your homework on what other properties in those neighborhoods are renting for. So with all of that said, thank you for your question, Josh. If you would like to ask us a question, ask me a question directly about real estate investing and getting started, it's simple. All you need to do is go to our landing page where we have our phone number set up. Just go to morrisinvest.com/Clayton. morrisinvest.com/Clayton, and you can ask us a question. Please keep your calls less than 30 seconds if you can. That way we can get more done. No one wants to listen to a 4-minute voicemail message. So please keep your voicemail messages to less than 30 seconds. Keep your questions quick, and we will answer them right here. Thank you so much. Much love to all of you. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor, because I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time, everyone.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.